Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Thank you. call this sacred drumming, sacred dance. Spirit dancer. Tiki Scales. And the Common Ground Collective. Yes, yes, yes. Just love that group. Music you can taste. Music for the soul. Spirit dancers. You can find out more about Musiki Scales by going to iTunes and download a copy of their CD. A copy, several copies. Musiki Scales. MAUSIKI. Scales. SCALES. And the Common Ground Collective. We're welcoming all the spirit dancers, all of you. And we want to welcome you to this place, this sacred ground. Good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, and good day to you wherever you happen to find yourself at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into yourself first. Thank you for saying yes to life. Thank you for living in the yes, because you are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am Ade, Life Coach Ade, the producer, and welcome you all. Thank you for being here, and we're getting ready to go deep down in consciousness and expand. It is always so nice to be here on Tuesday nights, because you are guaranteed to be fed. You're guaranteed to have a new awakening, to see your life differently, to see yourself differently. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. When you press 1, that lets me know you have something to share, or you have a question, and we encourage that. Now, it's no point being all polite and bashful, like, well, you know, I just let other people do the talking. No! What's that story about something needed done, and nobody wanted to do it because they thought somebody would do it or something like that? And you know that story. If you don't know, don't worry about it. I know what I'm trying to say. I just don't remember it right now. Basically, if you have a thought that you want to share with us, share it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. That's the essence of what I'm trying to say. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Rev D. That's what we call her, and you can too. Do call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You can also share your questions, your thoughts, in the chat room. We want to welcome all of the silent listeners that are in the chat room, those of you listening online that we can't see, and those of you who are listening on the phone line, thank you, thank you, thank you. And another place you can post your questions is on the Ask, no, that's not it, that's another show, on the Life Conversations Radio like page. I'll be happy to get to your questions, and the show is that much yummier. That's right, yummier. You know, it's yummy when Rev D does her thing, but when you add your spice to it, oh my God. Yes, better. 347-426-3346. Today's topic, today's theme is divine circulation. And I'm ready to stay in the flow. I'm ready to go with the flow and grow with the flow and stay in the currency of, oh my goodness. And we're ready to bring on Rev D. Hello, Rev D. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And lovely good day to all of our listeners.
Yes, yes, yes.
So good to be alive. Life mm-hmm. is in session. Thank everybody yes. for taking this time to go a little deeper into UADA for hosting this show and your vision of empowerment, all blessed. So very, very blessed by it. Yes, my.
You're very welcome. Yes.
Yes. My topic today is divine circulation. Divine circulation. Too often we perceive of ourselves as entities in the universe, like that somehow life is happening to us or it's happening at us. We don't even necessarily consider ourselves to be a part of the big thing of life itself. Like there's life and then there's our lives, but not our lives as an expression of life. And we're here in this show to reground, to regroup, to remember what we are as well as who we are. That we are first and foremost spiritual beings. There's a dance that's going on in life. It's not that life is happening to you or at you. Life is expressing itself through you. Through you. Now, I know for some people listening, this may be the craziest thing that they have ever heard. But for this next hour, I want you to think of yourself as a place and a space. Not that something solid, the things are happening to, but actually a location, a place and a space in the universe that activity is happening through. Boy, that's different, isn't it? Breathe that in. It's happening through me. The loving is happening through me. The creativity is happening through me. Everything that's going on is happening through me. It's the difference between perceiving myself as being the one singing the song versus somehow or another being an instrument that's being played. Any great artist, any great musician, even a great dancer or great athlete, they will explain to you that something takes them over, that at some point they have to get out of their head, at some point they have to stop trying to construct it, to think about it, and just be so in its flow that it feels natural and effortless. At some point, they stop going one, two, cha-cha-cha, three, four, cha-cha-cha, and become the dance. There's a consent to be a part of the flow that happens. Any really great musician, any great songwriter, for example, any great writer, goes to a place of surrender where it doesn't even seem like it's coming through them anymore. Listen to an Alice Walker or Maya Angelou, and they'll tell you that like the characters come to life. They tell them their stories, and they just write it down. It's not like they're cooking it up out of their head. You talk to a Stevie Wonder or a Michael Jackson or any of the great modern composers, they'll tell you that the music comes to them. It's coming through them. It's not like they're sitting there and cooking the music up out of their heads. No, no, no. The music is there. It just wants to be expressed. It's the same thing with love. When we really start loving, it doesn't even feel so much like the love is coming from you anymore as it's coming through you. Notice how when you're in that state of being in love, you're not just in love with that person or that circumstance. You're just in love. You get a little pep in your step. You smile a little bit more. You're more appreciative of everybody and everything. You're kinder. You're gentler. You're happier. You see more good and possibilities all around you. Because love is flowing through you. It's flowing as you. You're being a channel. You're being an outlet for it. You're being an avenue for it. When we recognize this, we can make that conscious choice. We can make a conscious choice to say, I'm going to be a part of the divine flow. That's what I'm going to do. One of the things to remember about divine circulation is that it just circulates. It's not discriminating. Love, prosperity, creativity, wholeness, balance, trust, truth, peace, joy, power. Those things, at their essence, they're not making the choice and saying, I'm going to go here, but not over there. Hang with me here. All the spiritual qualities, every spiritual quality that you can possibly think of, balance, order, vitality, resilience, whatever it is, faith, those qualities are everywhere present, equally available to all. Like it says in the Bible, that the sun makes its light to shine on the just and the unjust. The sun isn't going, well, you know what? I'm going to shine on Lakeisha over here, but I'm not going to shine on Ray Ray. It's not saying I'm going to shine in this backyard and not in that backyard. There's nothing out there going, are you worthy of life? Music isn't going, are you worthy? Are you worthy before I let my music come through you? Beauty doesn't matter. I'm in my office here looking at some of the most exquisite artwork you ever want to see that was done inside of prison by inmates, male inmates at that. Just exquisitely delicate artwork and crafts. The universe isn't going, well, you know, you did this, you did drugs, you whatever, you offed somebody in the liquor store robbery or what? No. I can't sing through you. No beauty can come through you. Poetry can't come through you. You're bad. You did something wrong. It's not like that. Abundance doesn't say, oh, I'm not going to come through you. You broke. You're always broke. Health doesn't say, oh, no, I'm not going to come through you. Health doesn't matter. Health doesn't care. If you are laying on the operating table and there's something up with your lungs are going to do everything that they possibly can to restore themselves. It doesn't matter if you smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day for 30 years. It doesn't matter if you were born with asthma. It doesn't matter if you were in gang warfare and you got shot in the lungs. It doesn't matter. It's not going to go, well, you know, it's since this was hereditary and you really didn't have anything to do with it, well, maybe I'll heal you. Oh, but if you smoked, well, you know, then you don't deserve. And no, we're not going to heal and restore because of that. And, oh, you know, you were bad. And were you the one pulling the trigger, or were you the one that was the good guy, or are you the bad guy in this gang warfare? Oh, well, depending on whether you're the big good guy or the bad guy, that's going to make a difference in whether I heal you or not. No. There's none of that going on. That everything that ever was, that ever will be, it's here. It's available to anybody and to everybody that just says yes. But here's part of the catch of it. It's raining all over the place, but if you want some of the rain, you got to get a bucket or something. You have to be willing to catch your blessings, so to speak. Do something with them. Recognize them. We're like people in the middle of a rainstorm complaining about how dry things are. It's like we don't even see all of the good that's all around us. We have these narratives going on in our head, these narrations, these stories in real time that we're telling ourselves about all what it's not, about what isn't there, lack, limitation, not enoughness. And then that becomes our reality. It is done unto us as we believe, for better or for worse. Is our narrative one of circulation? Or is our narrative one of stagnation, lack and limitation? Is our narrative one of circulation? That there's always good that's coming our way. That no matter how bad or dire things are, they're always restoring and rejuvenating themselves. See, this body that you have today is not the body that you had last week. It's not the body that you had 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. Your body is completely regenerating itself all of the time, which is why healing takes place. We're never stuck. So there's a divine circulation with even in your own body temple. The blood is always flowing. The air is moving in and out of your lungs. There are all kind of neurons and synapses that are happening all of the time. We are part of an exquisite, divine circulation. We experience the power of it, like I said, when we're really willing to recognize it. But it's even more than that. If you want the real gusto, and where you can truly, truly, truly experience the power of the divine circulation, sit down, take a breath. Give what you want to receive. Give what you want to receive. It's this paradox in life. In order to have it, you have to be willing to give it away. If you want love in your life, you just can't attract love to you. If you want to experience love, you have to love. Some love has to come out of you. That's meeting and interfacing love that's coming your way. But you have to love. And I know it seems a little odd, this idea that to have it, you have to give it away. To have it, you have to participate in it. If you want some energy, you have to expend some energy. You can't get more energy by conserving all of your energy. You have to expend some energy. You have to exercise. You have to eat, which takes energy. You have to do things to get more energy. And if that's not enough to just make you crazy, just when you think you don't have enough, that's the time to dig deeper and give even more. Just breathe that in for a moment. When the well seems to run dry, the answer is dig deeper in that very well to pull up what you need. If your body temple is injured or ill or sick in some kind of way, where's the health going to come from? Where is your health when your body's ill? Where's the health? Where's it going to come from? You can't buy it. You can't borrow somebody else's. It's not in a bottle. All the health you will ever know is laying within you. It's just a question of how much is it allowed to circulate? How much is it allowed to come forward? This is a paradox and irony of all of it. That the very health that you need is lying in the recesses of the very body that you think is ill. And it isn't until there's something within you that's willing to go beyond what it is that you see and to claim that you were part of the divine circulation that then allows the cells to rejuvenate, that then allows for the revitalization to take place. You don't get well by getting rid of illness. You get well by stimulating the health. You don't get well by getting rid of illness. You get well by stimulating the health. And all the medications and anything you can take, Western, Chinese, or anything else, they're all trying to do this. Okay? Just when you think you can't love anymore, you have to tap into the wellspring of love to find more to give. And then when you do that, you can feel and experience more love. Just when you think there's no more forgiveness in you to give, you have to dig deeper and find some, tap into it. And then once you do, the floodgates start to open for you to experience more. If it looks like you don't have enough money, you have to dig really deep and share some of the little that you have. And in so doing, it increases and you get more because you're part of the divine circulation. So beware of that ego's thing that tells you you don't have enough to give. Statistically speaking, poorer people actually give more. What they give is a higher percentage of their disposable income. They give because they know. They know that they're not the ones taking care of themselves. They know that they're relying on God. And the God that they rely on, they believe, is going to provide. So breathe that in. Be a part of the divine circulation. Don't just try to get things to come to you. Have them come through you. Be a giver and a receiver. Be part of that dance. Okay, take a breath, and we'll take a break.
Yes. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Ooh, your earth should be shaking right now. Yes. Give more when there seems to be less. And now the brain is like, I don't get that. Well, you know what to do. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Has your world been rocked? Are you struggling with circulation, abundance, money, love? And it's good when you hear it. It's like, yeah, this makes sense. But sometimes we can have some challenges trying to apply it. So bring a specific challenge, experience, struggle, whatever you want to call it. We don't care. Bring it to the table. Be part of the circulation. 347-426-3346 is the number. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. If you have any questions or have something to share, we invite you to share your question. We invite you to share your thoughts. Maybe something that happened for you when you heard what Rev D said. Rev D said, you know, give what you want to receive. 347-426-3346. We are going to take a break as we take a breath and be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
SeekerFest, a music-filled celebration of spirituality, philosophy, science, and religion. Here is Christine Joel to tell us about SeekerFest.
SeekerFest is a festival that celebrates the convergence of spirituality, science, philosophy, and religion. It's all about celebrating the many paths to universal truth through art, music, spoken word, and TED Talk-like presentations.
What inspired you to create SeekerFest?
What inspired me to create SeekerFest was really a recognition of a lack of a space for people who had an obscure faith or a different spiritual path, or didn't realize they were on a spiritual path, people who are seekers. They didn't have really a place to find fellowship and to seek fellowship.
SeekerFest sounds like a great place for people with different belief systems to celebrate their differences and what they have in common. Well, for more information, go to theseekerfest.com. That's theseekerfest.com.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the yes. 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people.
So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern, on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Be the change you want to see. That's right. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. She is the founding minister and president of Inner Light Ministries. She's the author of The Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent, Letters from the Infinite. You better get your message. Pick up one of those books. It will change your life. It would actually prepare your consciousness to take in more of what Rev D is saying. There's so much in those books. Welcome back, Rev D.
Thank you. Can and you give the call number again?
Yep, I got you, boo. 347-426-3346 is the number. Press 1 on your keypad. I've got some questions I want to ask you about divine flow, but there's a question. The question is there a story in the sacred text, I would assume, like in the Bible, that exemplifies divine circulation?
Oh yes. Oh my God. There's so many of them. I think one of my favorite ones is actually the story of the loaves and fishes. And that may seem like an odd one to pick for circulation, but the story of the loaves and fishes is about, this miracle that happens. There's the, sometimes it's called the feeding of the 5,000. There was also feeding of the 4,000. We don't really know how many people, because the men and the women and the children aren't included in the count. So there were at least 5,000 men. And they're listening to Jesus, and it's getting late in the evening, and Jesus asks the disciples, you know, well, the disciples come to him first, and they're concerned that he needs to stop so that the people can go home and eat. Now, this miracle shows up 4 different times. It shows up in each one of the Gospels. I think it may be the only miracle that shows up in every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which kind of shows its importance. And different versions tell you different things. The more complete ones will give you the whole story. And, you know, if we had more time, I'd love to go into the whole story, you know, all about it, because it's very, very beautiful. Jesus tests his disciples, and he says to Philip, who represents strength, he represents power, and that faculty is located in the root of the tongue. And he asked him, well, you know, what are we going to do here? And he says that, you know, he doesn't know. He can't figure this out. So he tells him, well, go gather whatever you have. And they gather up a few loaves and a few fishes. And Andrew, who represents strength, like, this isn't enough. And Jesus says, sit them down, organize them. Organize them. And it says, he blesses the bread and distributed it among them. It says, all were fed, each according to their own needs, and that there was more at the end than what they started in the beginning. It says that a young lad gave the first loaves and fishes, just a few. Middle Eastern, as well as Eastern metaphors and stories, the male represents the intellect, the more rational thinking part. A generic male, that's what that is, and a female, the more intuitive or the emotional part. So this is a young guy that hasn't been crusted in its thoughts. Okay? An open mind, you might say, a young lad. And he brings what he has. Now, nowhere in the story does it say where the supply comes from. This story is often used as a demonstration of Jesus' power. If you do some deep study, and I don't think this takes away from the miracle at all, particularly the work of George Lamza, who I won't go in and describe who he is, but Google him, Lamsa. And in his works, he describes the culture of the day, because he grew up in that same culture in the hills of Turkey, 2,000 years later, still doing the same practices as Jews who actually thought the Messiah had come. Interestingly enough, he speaks Aramaic. That's his native language, which is Jesus' language. And he described that people always carried the food with them. That no time, because there weren't restaurants along the way, that no time would anybody ever be without food. People were stingy. They wouldn't want to share their food, particularly on the way. But on the way back, that people would share because nobody wanted to come back with stale bread or, you know, fish or anything like that. It's like the people had it all with them. And that according to their tradition, they really believed that, and I think it's still true today, that to turn a rich person into a giver, to take somebody that really has something and to let them share it, that's a miracle. That's considered a miracle. And it's this, to me, perfect example of the divine flow and the divine circulation that we have enough. We all have it. There's enough to feed everybody and have some left over. The multitude is a hungry thought. There's this like insatiable appetite within, you know, all of us, but it can be fed. There's enough, but only that which is organized, that which sat down, he said, sit them down in groups of 50 so they can be fed. To me, that's one of the most beautiful, beautiful examples of the divine circulation, because they already had it. They just had to share it. They just had to give it. I'm thinking of the story of Solomon and the two harlots, where there were two women, two prostitutes that both had babies at the same time. One of them rolled over in the night and smothered her baby and he died. She goes and swaps babies with the other woman. When the woman wakes up and sees this dead baby with her and knows it's not her baby, you know, she just has a fit. And they squabble and squabble and it can't be settled, so they go before Solomon. And Solomon says, well, okay, I know how to solve this. I'll just split the baby in half. And I'll give you half and I'll give you half. One woman says, fine. And the other one's like, no. No. Don't. Don't. It's not my baby. That's her baby. Don't do that. No, 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 no. No, I don't want the baby. I don't want the baby. Just give it to her. Solomon gave it to that woman. He knew that was the real mother. The real mother was the one who would circulate. The real mother was the one who would release her own grip on her own child, who was willing to relinquish her own rights and custody of her own child so that the child could live. Even if it meant she couldn't have the child. See, that's divine circulation. That's this willingness to give in order to have. She's willing to give up all of her rights in order to still experience the joy of being a mother to a live child, even if she didn't get custody. The Bible is full of stories of divine circulation. This is what Jesus talked about all the time. Can't hoard. You can't hoard. You have to let what you have circulate, because you receive with the same measure with which you give. And our God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, Bible's full of it.
So I have a question in divine circulation, and I know that sometimes it's so easy to look at spiritual truth, spiritual qualities, as separate from what's going on in the world, because what is presented to us in the world is often separated from our spirituality. So I want to ask you, in the context of divine circulation and what happened in, 2007, 2008, the financial crisis, what happened then if there is divine circulation, that everything we need is right here? How did we get to a place where there was financial crisis? Were there groups of people that wanted us to believe that, or what?
There were groups of people who weren't practicing divine circulation. They were practicing human greed. Those are two different things. There were people who did not trust in the goodness of the universe. They did not trust there was enough for all. They did not put their trust in God. And they took matters in their own hands to try to skew things. Not divine circulation. What they were skewing were the man-made constructs that they could control. But anything that's out of order with divine principle, it cannot stand. The mark of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. You can't be out of alignment with spiritual truth and principles for too long before it snaps back. You cannot oppress the people forever. They will rise. They will get to the point where they say enough. They will do it. But in the meantime, even when the stock markets were crashing and all the rest of that, it was divine circulation that was keeping people alive. It was divine circulation that was making sure that people still had places to sleep. It was divine circulation that was making sure that people still had food to eat. Even though human beings were messing with the economy, divine circulation is what has your back.
Is divine circulation the same as grace, or divine circulation is an extension of grace?
Divine circulation is an extension of grace. Grace is the provision just because. Divine circulation is the way that grace moves around in the world. It's like the wind to air. The air is always there. The wind blows it. Like divine circulation moves the energy to where it needs to be. But here's the thing. Listen to what I said in the beginning. Consider yourself a part of the divine circulation. Don't get into analyzing it like it's some external force thing that you've got to figure out how it operates or what it does. Like, no, claim it. I'm a part of it. Divine circulation is the way that life works. I'm a part of life. Divine circulation is a part of who I am. It's who I am. Things are always coming to and from me all the time. We are forever circulating everything. Ideas, thoughts, emotions, words, actions. We're always circulating. It's like whether you say something or not, you're still filling up the atmosphere with your energy. Haven't you ever been in a situation? Were you in a room with somebody that wasn't saying anything? But what they weren't saying was so loud you couldn't even stay in the room.
Yes.
It reminds me of this one line I love, not so much the movie, but the book, The Help. And I am just crazy about the audio version. I think that's one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard. It's 17 CDs. It is really brilliant. They're four women, and they take turns speaking as the different characters. And it's the nuance that you cannot capture in film, and so much of it is around their southern sayings and how they describe things. And I remember there was this one moment that was happening. It was this showdown between Maybelline, who was like one of the main characters, and the woman that she worked for. And the line goes something like, in this something. How we managing to have ourselves a whole conversation and ain't nobody saying a word, or the other way around, or ain't nobody saying a word and we managing to have ourselves a whole conversation. We're always circulating. Choose what do we circulate? Do we circulate drama? Or do we circulate inspiration? Do we circulate truth or conjectures? Do we circulate hope and possibility? Or worry, doubt, and fear? We're always circulating stuff. Quiet is kept. Many of us are suffering from each other's secondhand thoughts. We've polluted the air.
I have a question is slowly downloading. Maybe using dial up. So I'm going to slow it down so I catch the words. When you said we're always circulated, I want to hear your thoughts because and the question, or your answer actually, the spiritual principles and the languaging, if you will, always sounds good when it's coming out of our mouths. But sometimes those of us in the spiritual community, it's easy to do what I call spiritual bypassing. So if one wants to really embody the spiritual truth, and they believe that what they are feeling right now is not an expression of love, maybe they're angry, they're feeling jealousy, just stuff going on, how can they recalibrate or even get to a point? I mean, are they meant to voice that energy that some people call low vibration negativity, or just keep them mouth shut till they can express something loving? As the saying goes, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all.
Everything is energy. I can't express that enough. Everything is energy. So what you want to do, control of your energetic field. And you do whatever it is you need to do to take control of your energetic field. Now, there have been times in my life I just needed to beat something. I mean, some techniques I learned in therapy where you just, I got these plastic bats and get stack up pillows or stack up telephone books or whatnot, and just till I'm exhausted. Just getting all that rage and anger out of my system because it was just poisoning me. Okay? And I needed to do that in order to be present. Otherwise, it was just festering. Now, most of the time, for me, it's on the other end. It's, Deborah, you know what? Cut the drama, the villain-hero triangle. Cut the whining, because you know it ain't about nothing. And what you need to do is just sit still and let it wash over you. Just sit still and be non-reactive. Be non-responsive. You get control of your emotions. Don't let your emotions have you. You have emotions. Don't let your emotions have you. And that's what I needed to do in that moment in order to be fully present in my sense of power. Okay? There's not a one-stop formula. It's your place of deepest intent. What do you need to do? And the first thing that you need to do more than anything is pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. That psalm is my prayer every day, throughout the day. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And with that, I'm led. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to let it roll. I don't know whether to make amends. I don't have to. Because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I don't have to know. All I have to do is to be willing to forgive, willing to shift, and the table will be prepared, and you will not miss your invitation. It may come way faster than you ever thought it would. You don't have to make the guest list. You don't have to determine the banquet. You don't have to decide the menu. You don't determine the guest list. Just if you have in your heart, I'm ready to heal. I'm ready to reconcile. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to see things clearly. I'm ready to be God. You'll know. And it won't be a spiritual bypass. It won't. I'm going to end on this story. This was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I'm at a banquet. It actually was a banquet by this organization called GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and they put on these huge, huge media image awards. And I'm sitting in one of the very front tables, and there are all these stars next to me and all the rest of that, and you know, it doesn't matter why I'm in the front table, but I am. I'm sitting next to the executive director, who's one of my clients. This organization has been one of my clients. And there's a man sitting at the table. I recognized him instantly, his very, very distinct look. I hadn't seen that man in maybe 10 years. And I had had the worst dismissive, racist encounter with that man in his home that I can ever recall. It was so bad, my co-chair of the organization that was having a fundraiser at his house cried for me. This white gay male, he just cried. He goes, "Oh, my God, Deborah, is this what you keep trying to tell me?" And I said, "Yes, you just witnessed it." I saw that man once. I hadn't seen him before. So I look at him, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm in denial. Maybe this is a twin. You know, maybe it's something, you know. And it's like, so I just thought, okay, Deborah, this is two choice. And I thought about that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I thought, what are you going to do here? Are you going to weasel out? I know he didn't remember me, because he couldn't see me when I was standing right in front of him the first time. So I know he didn't know who I was. So I just asked him a few questions, confirmed that he is who I thought he was. And then I said to him, "Do you have a home in San Francisco that you allow nonprofits to use for fundraisers?" And he's like, "Yes, I do," and whatnot. And I just took a deep breath, and I turned it over to God. And what came out of my mouth floored me. I just looked at him, and I said, "Thank you. Tremendous service to the community." And I looked around. I really did. Like, who the hell said that? I mean, really, I was like, "Cool, you didn't say that. I know you didn't say that. Wait a minute. We got that." And something just washed over me. And I was suddenly free. He had no power over me anymore. There was no story. And I just said, "I used to be a co-chair of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. And a number of years ago, we had a fundraiser at your house. Raised a considerable amount of money." I said, "And, you know, I just want to thank you. That's a real service." I'm like, wow. And when I went home, I realized if I had done anything else but that, I'd have still been caught up in it.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I had done anything else other than that, he would have still had power over me. I'd have still been telling the story. I was the poor little snub black woman. You know, blah, 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 blah. I'd have still been telling the story. But I stood in my power. And I thanked him, which I'm sure I didn't do that night. In spite of the fact that we made a lot of money, I can guarantee I didn't thank him because I didn't say nothing else to that man. There it is. Was that spiritual bypass to say thank you and not pick a fight and tell him all about what he did? No, it wasn't. It was spiritual maturation. It was forgiveness. It was reconciliation. It was empowerment. It was freedom. And on that note, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rev D.
All right.
Have a great evening.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. And just a quick story here. As I said earlier, Rev D is the author of The Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent. And I have both books next to me. And actually, I had Sacred Yes on top of the Your Deepest Intent. And I wanted to open Sacred Yes to look for something in there. And somehow, I had moved Your Deepest Intent on top of Sacred Yes. And the page that I opened to was part of the introduction, I think, preface. Yeah. And I underlined something that was written in there. And I'm going to leave this with you. It says, oneness holds wealth we have yet to discover. Its fruit is sweet with a nectar that we have yet to taste. Oneness holds wealth we have yet to discover. Its fruit is sweet with a nectar that we have yet to taste. Go on a discovery, go on an adventure to taste that sweet nectar of God's goodness. And I would say this not because Rev D is the host of this show, but because I know that these books are powerful. And after tonight, I'm inspired more to get deeper into it. I read many books, but I think I need to get back into The Sacred Yes because it really breaks things down and you get to embody it. You can get it on the audiobook version as well. If you don't get The Deepest Intent, get The Sacred Yes first. It will transform your life. And I want to tell you that we love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. May you know that you are part of divine circulation. May you know that you are God in expression. May you know truly deep down within yourself what fulfillment is, what joy is, what love is, and what freedom is. I hold that truth. I stand with you in that truth. And remember that we need each other because we are each other. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy the rest of the show with Ricky Byers Beckwith in the land of I Am. I feel so fed, so moved, so full. Make sure you join Ambassador Fair on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the play experience. And I'll be back next Monday live, 12 p.m. Eastern, for the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.